I wonder which of the seven deadlies is your sin. By that I mean, which one are you the most guilty of or the most prone to? I'm going to tell stories out of turn and let you know that David's sin is sloth. I know, some of you are going to leap to his defense. He worked so hard for us at St. Dunstan's, you might say. Well, sure. But he never, and I mean never, puts the lid back on the peanut butter jar. And he always leaves the laundry half finished. And he resists getting out of bed every single morning. It's definitely sloth. And before you start to make a guess about me, I'll let you know that my sin is pride. I used to think it was wrath, because I feel angry a lot of the time. But the reason I'm angry is that nobody around me is living up to my standards. In the back of my mind, I'm always thinking, oh, I could be doing that better. Peanut butter jar lids, laundry, and all. So you don't need to confess anything to me. But I wonder which of the sins is yours. Do you remember them all? Sloth, pride, wrath, greed, gluttony, lust, and envy. You know envy is your sin when you think to yourself, oh, everyone else got a way better sin than me. Talking about sins this way is a little bit tricky in our day and age because, of course, there's two sides to every coin. I wonder sometimes if over the course of the last couple of millennia, human beings haven't worked so hard to overcome some of these sins that we've started to err in the other direction. Being slothful and lazy is one thing. Never taking time off of work to relax and rejuvenate yourself is another thing. Being prideful and full of yourself is one thing. But believing in yourself and your values, even in the face of oppressive criticism, is another. And then there's envy. I am haunted by that second to last line in the gospel. Are you envious? Because I am generous. That's God saying that, incredulously. Are you envious? Because I am generous. Because, of course, the answer is yes. I am envious, and it's because God is generous to a whole bunch of people who aren't me. I'm envious that God granted the gift of singing on the Broadway stage to some people, but not to me. I'm envious because some people have marble countertops, but I don't. I'm envious because some people get to spend COVID-tide on their private yachts, and I don't. And this is just the shallow side of envy. I'm envious that people who don't work as hard as I do get more money and more recognition. I'm envious because God forgives people who I think are unforgivable. I'm envious because God offers salvation and redemption even to people who don't deserve it. And I'm not just talking about my neighbor who smokes pot in his backyard. I mean, you and I both know there's sinners, and then there's sinners. Like the real bad ones, the sociopaths, the criminals, the murderers. You know who I'm talking about. The ones that don't deserve salvation or redemption. You know what I mean. Are you envious because I am generous? Asks God. Damn straight I am. You see my pride kicking in here. You see what I'm doing here? I'm giving myself the authority to decide who's savable, who's redeemable. We all do this, I think. There are sinners, but then there are sinners. The unrepentant ones, the evil ones, the cruel ones, the ones who don't act like Christians, the ones who don't care who they hurt. I know they don't deserve anything. I am envious because God is generous. At its core, I suspect that envy is mostly narcissistic. It seems like what you're focusing on is the other person or the other situation, but really what you're focused on is your own feeling of lack. Outwardly, for example, it might seem like you're frustrated with the person who gets to speak first, but really that person is almost irrelevant. You're mostly mad that you're not the one who gets to speak first, or at least your point of view isn't the first one presented. It's not so much that they have a yacht, or at least tons of money. It's more that I don't have that. And it might not be so much that they are being offered redemption by God. It's maybe more that I'm not so sure that I am being offered redemption. Ultimately, envy might be telling us that we don't think we ourselves are worthy of the good things this life has to offer. I mean, I'm no psychologist. I'm just a prideful, envious jerk. And of course, these are the dangers of talking about sin. You might end up in a place where you think everyone else is terrible. And, or, you might end up in a place where you think you yourself are terrible. You might end up in a place where you start to think the world is a terrible place. And right now, it's easy to get caught up into thinking that the world is a terrible place. Even before the COVID-19 pandemic, the smoke and wildfires were coming for us. Even before this latest round of Black Lives Matter protests, there were people protesting the treatment of Indigenous and other racialized Canadians. Even before the current batch of bozos was elected into the halls of government, there was a different batch of bozos. And of course, none of us can agree which bozos are the most bozo-like. And if you think my guys are bozos, well, you must be an even bigger bozo than they are, or than you think they are. Quit trying to trick me by holding an opinion that's different than mine. So now, let's talk about generosity. And I don't just mean like giving stuff away, though you should still like give a lot of stuff away. I mean generosity of spirit, being generous with others, being generous with yourself, being generous with the world. I'm talking about imagining a world where everyone, no matter their circumstances, no matter their demographics, no matter their crimes, deserves nothing more or less than compassion. I do believe that that is the kind of world God is calling for with the phrase, "The last shall be first, and the first shall be last." I think a lot of people imagine that being generous in this way also means being naive, that being generous to a sociopath, for example, means letting them roam free, always in a position to harm people. But that's not true. Being generous doesn't have to mean being naive. A really dangerous sociopath might need to be kept under lock and key in order to keep the rest of us safe. But God might be asking us to do our best to care for that person rather than punish them. I mean, I don't know. It's always tough when you talk about these extreme examples. But I think generosity is tough. Generosity doesn't have to be the pushover way that some of us might imagine it to be. Generosity can have clear rules and clear boundaries. I mean, following the COVID-19 pandemic rules might be the most generous thing we can do, not insisting on our own right to be free of whatever encumbrance, but insisting on our own obligation to try to keep everyone else safe and healthy. And don't get me wrong, we do need to test the rules to make sure that they are created and enforced from the perspective of generosity. Denying people the right to vote or entrance into a hospital based on the color of their skin, for example, is not a generous rule and it should be struck down. And here again is a very important point about generosity. It isn't passive. It isn't just waiting for the world to happen. That might be envy. No. To be generous is to be always actively seeking out ways to make the world fairer, safer, more compassionate, more joyous. Being generous means making decisions from a place of care and respect rather than a place of fear and self-interest. Generosity isn't turning a blind eye to the sin of the world, but is rather standing up in the face of the sin of the world and proclaiming that there is still hope and that goodness will triumph. The COVID-19 pandemic is a terrible, difficult, challenging thing with lots of loss and sadness. But we live in a time of unprecedented medical research and of almost inexhaustible manufacturing capability. In the grand scheme of the history of humankind, this plague might be the one we are best equipped to face. And we're not doing it perfectly, but we are doing it. climate change is causing some drastic changes to weather patterns, which are in turn devastating parts of the world. But we live in a time of nearly instant global communication and highly adaptable engineering capability. If there was any time in our human history when we were equipped to face a climate emergency, it is now. In terms of racism, I think many people are becoming more and more aware of how it works, how it permeates institutions and situations that some of us once thought were benign. And more of us are opposed, and I mean virulently opposed, to racism existing in this world. This horrible enemy is more and more visible to more and more people, and more people are working against it rather than ignoring it. And so on. I'm not trying to say that we need to always look on the bright side of life, but I am saying, don't let the fear and the despair take over. Don't let your concerns over your own competence and the competence of others take away your hope. Don't let your desire for the world to be different than it is stop you from throwing everything you have at working to make the world a better place. God's generosity can overcome all of our slothfulness, our pride, our greed, our anger, and our envy. God's generosity is limitless, and God is inviting you to make your generosity that way too.